Read more stories on spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of a subscription. Well, this is John Matarazzo for Charisma News, and today I have the pleasure and honor of talking with Chris Overstreet. He's the author of A Practical Guide to Evangelism Supernaturally, and he has gospel trucks. He goes around the country preaching the gospel in areas that it's wherever he can, basically. I mean, he's basically kind of like an undercover operator, and he just has a big heart for local areas and just rolls in, does a gospel presentation, has an outreach, and changes a neighborhood. And I can't wait to have this conversation with him to talk about how God has been operating in his life in the supernatural way. Chris, welcome to the Charisma News Podcast.
Thank you so much, John, for having me. It's great to be with you.
I love talking about evangelism and ministry and preaching the gospel. I was a missionary myself for 8 years, so this is kind of like, man, we're just going to have a great conversation about reaching the lost for Jesus Christ, and especially in the power of the Holy Spirit. And yeah. So could you just talk a little bit about yourself? And I know you have an amazing story of how God brought you to your knees at a very difficult location and a difficult season of your life, but your life was completely changed. Can you share your testimony and how God has launched you into ministry?
Yeah, you know, I was raised in the church, John, but, you know, we all know that just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian. Like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a cheeseburger.
Thank you, and, Lord.
but, you know, when I was 18 years old, I went to jail. And, you know, there was someone that was in jail on the same cell block as me. And there was around 30 men in the cell block. And he began to share the gospel with me. And at first, John, I didn't want to hear anything about Jesus. I'd swore at him. Mm. But he was relentless in prayer. I mean, he would just walk back and forth and just pray. And that night, John, when I was sleeping, it was like the Holy Spirit was moving and tugging on my heart. I woke up the next morning and I was aware of three things. Number one, Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross and he rose again the third day. Number two, I'm a sinner and I'm on my way to hell. But the third thing is this, I don't have to go to hell because Jesus loves me. He's got a plan for my life. All I need to do is humble myself, repent, and turn to him. And so I met Jesus when I was 18 years old. And, you know, and then when I was 21, went to YWAM. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after YWAM, I went to the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, was brought on staff there, began to travel all around the world, preaching the gospel, training, equipping people. And then I met my beautiful wife, Stephanie, at a backpack giveaway. We were giving away backpacks to kids that are less fortunate. She came to the volunteer meeting. I shook her hand. She blushed. I blushed. And, you know, shortly after that, we started dating, and the rest is history. We've got two little beautiful girls. We've got a seven-year-old. Her name is Brielle. And then we have a year and a half-year-old, and her name is Jubilee. Mm. And so, you know, God's good, and it's exciting to see what the Lord is doing.
Very cool. Very cool. So, I mean, how did you go from really just giving your life to the Lord to living a really radical life where, I mean, you are going around the world preaching the gospel now, and this is your full-time thing. You've been doing it enough that you have a good experience and you've written a book, so which I really enjoy. And I often will skim through a book as I'm preparing for an interview, but I couldn't put this down. And I got about halfway through and I'm like, I can't wait to finish this. It's very, very practical and supernatural. Normally, those two things don't go together. Normally, like whenever things are talking about supernatural ministry, it kind of feels like I don't understand it reading from the book. Mm-hmm. I have to experience it. But you do a very good job of explaining how the supernatural works with the practical ministry, being the hands and feet of Jesus, but also the power and the spirit of the Holy Spirit working together. So you had YWAM experience, you had Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. How did these things come together and turn into passiontoaction.com is your website?
Yeah. That's a great question. John, I'll first start with this. You know, I know there's individuals that are just naturally bold to step out, preach the gospel. You know, I was afraid in my starting point, I was afraid to put a Christian t-shirt on. So I think in chapter 4, I talked about that overcoming fear. And, you know, I would encourage anyone that's watching right now, you know, that we all face fear, but God gives us an opportunity to overcome it. And one of the ways that we overcome it is understanding how much he loves us and how much he loves people. And so how do we grow? We grow by obedience. We grow in boldness. We grow in obedience. You know, quick obedience helps us grow. And delayed obedience, oftentimes, you know, we talk ourselves out of it when say, well, you know, I'll do it a little bit later, or no, I'm afraid. So, you know, I like to help set people up and to teach them quick obedience. So how did it get here? I mean, it's the grace of God, but simple baby steps. One step at a time, obeying the Lord. You know, this book, along with some other books that I've written, John, is really a testimony. You know, I was in special ed, you know, growing up. I had a learning disability. I had labels. I had boxes all around me. I had people telling me I wouldn't amount to anything. I'd end my life in prison. I had dyslexia. My greatest fear growing up was to stand in front of people and read. That was my greatest fear. And so I would take one step at a time, and I would take the truth of the Word of God. The first 3 years of my life as a Christian was taking the Word of God and meditating on it and memorizing it and speaking it. And as I began to absorb myself from the Word of God, I began to see myself completely different. And, you know, and that's my hope and my dream for individuals, is that they would get a heavenly vision through the Word of God of what God is saying about their lives.
Yeah. And once you operate from that place, it's easier to really walk in that identity, because you're not operating out of guilt. And I know that's one of the things that really stuck out to me as I was reading this, because you're very clear that a true evangelist is not bringing condemnation, but it's bringing equipping. And I know a lot of times whenever, if you're at church and you hear an evangelist is coming, you're just like, you put your head down because you're thinking, I'm not doing enough. I feel bad. And but that's not what we should be doing. That's not how we should be feeling. You know, evangelists are equippers. They are to help train the body of Christ to go do the work of an evangelist, because we're all called to evangelize, right? So tell me about how you go around equipping people. And I just love your perspective on that as well.
I'm going to break it down just real simple. I believe that God wants to give us compassion for people. That has to do with the heart. And so if you can memorize this, Bob, God wants to give us a burden and compassion for the lost. He wants to open up our eyes that we see the opportunities. And then he wants to give us boldness to speak the word of God. And so everything starts with the heart. So God wants to impart a heart, number one, for us, the way that he sees us, but also the way that he sees this generation, the way that he sees individuals. Because the reality is this: if we have judgment in our heart towards people, we'll never have compassion for them.
That is so true. That is so true. So what is the first step that somebody can do to help themselves start to see people through Jesus' eyes?
The first step, I believe, is asking for his heart. It's simple. Ask for the heart of God and he'll give. You know, the Bible is very clear. Asking you shall receive. And when you ask the will of God, God, I know this is your will, because your desire is that none perish. I need your heart. I can't do this in my strength. I need your heart. I need the Holy Spirit moving in my life and through my life. I need your heart. But not only that, but Lord, open up my eyes to see the opportunities. We have opportunities around us all the time. But sometimes we're just moving so fast in life that we don't see them, because we're so busy. We're so focused on us.
Right.
But God wants to open up our eyes so that we can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, But we don't just need to see, we need to move with action. We need to see our compassion mobilized into action. And that's where boldness comes in. We need boldness, but it's not the boldness that comes from our personality, our strength. It's the boldness that comes through the Holy Spirit and surrendering to the will of God.
Now, you're not talking about a boldness that requires people to just stand up in a crowded restaurant and then just shout at people and share the gospel that way. I mean, there's many different ways to preach the gospel and to be a witness and to be an evangelist. That's something that it kind of makes me uncomfortable whenever people stand up in the middle of a restaurant or on the street corner and they're just shouting at people. How is the gospel? How do you demonstrate honor? I know that's a big core value with you. How do you demonstrate honor?
Well, let me say this. The boldness is, what is the Spirit saying? So we know that the Spirit of the Lord is telling us to preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. It's the Great Commission. It's never meant the great suggestion. It's the Great Commission. But boldness looks like this. If God says to do something, like stop and talk mm-hmm. to your neighbor that mm-hmm. you've never met before, that looks like obeying the Lord. And that is, we need that boldness. Or maybe you're in the grocery store and you see someone that's behind you and the Lord says, hey, I want you to talk to that person. Tell them that I love them. That's going to require boldness. Mm. And it's not something that comes from us. It comes from Him surrendering to the will of God. And every individual is significant and valuable. And the greatest example of honor is what Jesus Christ did for us by hanging on a bloody cross. So He honored us. Mm-hmm. He saw us in our condition. He saw us just where we were. While we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. So He honored us. Mm-hmm. And the greatest thing that we can do is treat people like people, not projects. Mm-hmm. But with that, we have to be honest. We have to be compassionate, but we have to tell the truth. Otherwise, we lean towards, we kind of go to universalism and mm-hmm. humanism, which isn't the gospel.
True.
And so there's a healthy tension of honoring people, but telling the truth through love.
Yeah. And I want to get to your gospel trucks and what you're doing right now. But there's a chapter in your book that's about praying for the sick in public. And I love the stories that you put in that, but just how detailed and just how simple some of the steps are. And it's not like step one, step two, step three, so much as it is examples and just a suggestion and just kind of, if you have these in mind, like understanding that God can operate this way and He does operate this way. Can you talk about praying for the sick in public and just about the presence of God and how He operates? You've got some great stories. I want to get those out of you because that's great to share with this audience.
Yeah, Mark 16 says that the believers will lay their hands on the sick and they recover. And I'm so glad that Jesus didn't say that the apostles or the prophets would do that, but that the believers would. So the whole biblical context is that God wants to use the church. He wants to use every believer, and He wants to use us outside of the four walls of the church. Mm. So, one of the things that I encourage people to do is that if they see someone that's sick, ask them if they could pray for them. Mm-hmm. Just take your hands out of your pocket and ask if you can lay your hand on that area and to begin to pray for them. And there's a difference between a healing and a miracle. A miracle is instantaneous. You see the end result right there. But a healing is progressive. And so you may need to pray more than one time. I love to see the miracles that happen right in front of me. Mm-hmm. But God is also into the healing process. Even Jesus prayed for an individual that was blind, remember, two times. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that God wants to raise up a generation that openly displays the raw power of God. And He's going to raise up anyone and everyone that is hungry and willing.
Amen. Amen. You write about a cool story that happened about in a gas station where just God brought His presence and joy there. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I'm in a gas station and I'm getting ready to go on a trip with a friend of mine. And as I'm in the gas station, I could just feel the presence of God. I mean, I felt the tangible presence of God. And this joy just came over me. And the woman behind the counter, she looked at me and she said, "What are you on?" Now, I wasn't laughing hysterically. I wasn't doing anything like that. I wasn't trying to draw any attention to myself. I was just shining. Mm-hmm. I mean, the joy of the Lord was just oozing through me. And she said, "What are you on?" I said, "The Holy Spirit has produced joy in my heart." I said something like that. I said, "You want some?" And and I just said, "Holy Spirit, touch her right now." And next thing you know, she began to laugh hysterically. I mean, she started belly laughing behind the counter. And I said, "Lord, touch her life." And then I looked at the time, we got to go. And so we had to leave. But we saw the joy of the Lord touch her life. And she encountered the presence of God. And my prayer is that's a seed that will point her to Jesus, where she comes to have that relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. You know, I wish I would have had your book earlier, because when I was in YWAM, we went to a conference and Roland Baker, Heidi Baker's husband, was speaking. And we had a little bit of a break between the afternoon session and the evening session. And so my friend and I were leaders, and we went to the grocery store, and the presence of God was all over us. We didn't realize what was going on, but people were literally almost like bouncing off of a force field around us, and they just had this joy. And if I would have had your book at that time, I think I would have had a better understanding of what was going on and responded like you did. If that happens again, or when that happens again, I will have a better response now. But I've seen that in my own life, how the presence of God can bring even somebody that's not a Christian to a place where they have an experience with Him, that's either going to be a seed or it's going to turn into something that you can harvest. And so I just think that was a really cool thing. That's why I wanted you to share about that, because I had experience like that too, which was, something I'll never forget. So I want to talk about your gospel trucks and what you're doing now, because you took a truck and you cut out the side and you have a stage and you just roll up into an area and start preaching the gospel. But there's a lot more to it. Can you tell us about your gospel trucks and what you're doing and just how God has been using this? First off, where did this come from?
Yeah, well, in 2015, the Lord spoke to me about a mobile stage that we would have. But I wrote it down in my journal. I tucked it away. And honestly, John, I totally forgot about it. And in December 2007, I mean, in December 2019, I believe it was December 7th, the Lord spoke to me early that morning. And I'm pretty sure that's when Reinhard Bonnke went to be with the Lord. I think it was on the 7th, December 7th. Well, the Lord spoke to me that morning, and He said that 2020 is going to be a year of courage. Live with courage. Don't shrink back in fear. And so I had no idea what was going to go on in 2020, but I just felt the Lord was telling me, take courage. So in April of 2020, the Lord said, get a gospel truck, take it around America and preach the gospel. And so I told the team, I asked my brother to research. And so he started researching stages. And he found a stage called Stage Line, based out of Canada. And it's a transformer. So it's a trailer that literally transforms. And so we started raising money for that stage with the anticipation that we are getting ready to take it around the nation. And that's what we did in 2021. We did 32 open air gospel campaigns. Wow. And we got the stage. We got the stage to be able to partner with other ministries as well. We helped some other ministries. So it wasn't just serving our needs, but it was also serving other needs that had a vision to be able to reach communities with the gospel. And so our model is very simple. We look for pastors and leaders that are hungry to be able to see God move in their area. And then we do collaboration. We find out, what is God doing? What's he putting in your heart? Mm-hmm. And if it's right, we'll come in and we'll preach the gospel and we'll see him get plugged into churches. So that's our large stage.
Yeah.
And then we have a smaller stage that's like a little U-Haul, a little box truck that we've had, the sides cut out and it folds down to be a stage so we can go into neighborhoods and do block parties really fast and quick setup. And this summer we had a block party every weekend, except for one weekend, preaching the gospel into areas in the Portland area that's rough, Vancouver, Washington, and we're just going out there. And so our vision in 10 years, John, is we have a hub in every state of America with these mini gospel trucks, training and equipping, raising up young evangelists, and openly displaying the raw power of God and seeing a discipleship movement is connected to churches.
Amen. The discipleship movement connected to churches is a big thing. And I know a lot of people will say, well, what happens to these people after they've prayed the prayer to receive Jesus? What are some things that you're doing? I know you just mentioned that, and it's a very important part, but what are some things that you're actually doing? And I guess a follow-up to that would be, how can a church that is a pastor that is his heart's on fire from what you're talking about, he wants to be involved with this, how can that happen?
Yeah, first thing, what do we do is we do everything through relationship typically when we go into an area. So we want to make sure that the net is set. And we want to find out what are they already doing as well for discipleship. If they don't have anything set in place, we want to help create that net for them. We want to help give them resources. I wrote something called The Jesus Disciple. It takes them through for a new believer of what Jesus just did in their life, gives them helps them give a clear biblical understanding of what the Lord has done and how they can get a fresh start with Jesus by following him. So we get that into their hands if they need it. If they already have stuff, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. We just want to be able to point people into their churches and see people grow as disciples. How can pastors and leaders across America get a hold of us? Just contact us, go to our website, email us, and we'd love to be in contact with you. We are currently right now setting up our schedule for 2023. It's going to be a packed out schedule, and we're excited about making an impact across communities in America.
Yeah, and his website is Compassion to Action. Yeah, CTA, Compassion to Action. And it's awesome. I've seen some videos of what they're doing, and his Facebook, he's constantly giving updates of where they're going to be and what's going on. But I think one of the biggest updates that we can really hear would be beneficial is some testimonies. Yeah. Chris, what are some testimonies of things that have happened as a result of you being obedient to what God's called you to do, to raise money for these trucks, to just get out there and preach the gospel? Tell us about some lives that have been changed for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one testimony really quickly. I was at I was in Redding, California, and early morning I was just praying, and this was a recent testimony. I was praying, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me at 7 a.m. a particular street. And so I wrote down that, and I had meetings that day, just connecting with people. You know, I lived in Redding for 18 years. I live in the outside of Portland right now. So I was just doing some relational stuff, mm-hmm. connecting with people. And I had about an hour and a half window, and I had a few individuals with me. And while we were in the grocery store, I totally remembered, oh my gosh, the Lord spoke to me this morning at 7 a.m. about this street. Mm. And so I said, guys, we've got to go. And so we drive to this particular street, and I'm driving around, and I'm just waiting for, okay, this is the place. Mm-hmm. And as we drive around, we all feel like there's this one apartment that's sticking out on the street. And so we get out of the car, and there's a woman by this car, and I walk up to her and say, excuse me, ma'am, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. He has a plan for your life, and he sent me here for you. The moment I said that, John, she began to weep and cry. And she just bent over and just began to wail, just weeping and crying. And then the Lord began to speak to me that there was a relationship that was a broken relationship, and that God was going to restore that relationship. Mm. After she begins to, you know, calm down a little bit, she says, this is God. This is God. She said, this morning, around 7 a.m., I prayed to God, and I prayed, Lord, I need your help. Please help me. And I said, well, the Lord has sent us here to help you. She had been out of work for 3 weeks, and we had an opportunity to put compassion into action. The Lord spoke to us in that moment. You know, she had a vehicle that was broken down, wasn't working. She wasn't able to get to work because of the no vehicle. And the Lord spoke to us in that moment, pay for the vehicle to be able to get fixed. So we got it towed, and this woman's life has been changed and transformed. And God's doing something amazing in her heart and her life. I'll tell you a few other ones, John.
Yeah, please.
So I was I was on my way to the gym to be able to work out. And as I was getting ready to work out, the Lord spoke to me, and these are testimonies about obedience. Mm-hmm. And it all started for me by putting a Christian t-shirt on years ago. Yeah. I didn't want to, but God said, put a Christian t-shirt on. Mm-hmm. And I realized if I'm going to grow, I have to obey God. And so I did that. And fast forward. So I'm driving to the gym, and the Lord speaks to me, and he says, I want you to go to this gun shop because they're having a Bible study. And I said to myself, a gun shop having a Bible study? I had this strong impression that there was this gun shop. I'd been to the gun shop before, but I had no idea that mm-hmm. they were having a Bible study. So I turn around, it's about 20 minutes away from me, and I go to this gun shop. And sure enough, John, 15 people had their Bible inside a gun shop. And I feel a little bit awkward. I've never been to a Bible study in a gun shop before. And I go into the gun shop and I have my Bible. I just so happen to have my Bible with me. And I sit down. And the message is about entering into the rest of God in Hebrews and how faith comes out of rest mm-hmm. and how faith comes out of trusting God.
Yeah.
And as I'm sitting there, I hear the message. And then after the message, I go up to the leader. His name is Mike. And I said, Mike, this might sound really strange, but I was on the way to the gym, and the Lord spoke to me about coming to this gun shop. And I said, by any chance, is there anyone here that needs healing in their body? And he says, this woman over here. Mm-hmm. And I said, she had pain in her back. Mm-hmm. And he says, yes. And so I went over there. I laid my hand on her back. And I said, if I could lay my hand on her back, I prayed. And I said, how does it feel? She says, oh, my gosh, all the pain is gone. And then she said, pray for my hip. And so I prayed for her hip. And she says, oh, my gosh, the pain's gone. And then she said, pray for my knee. And I prayed for her knee. Power of God comes on her. All her pain left in her knee. And next thing I know, there's six other people that are lined up that need prayer and wow. ministry. That Bible study has exploded in this gun shop. It's exploded in this gun shop, and God's doing some incredible things. I want to tell you another testimony really quickly. It's about quick obedience, John. So I'm at this church in Georgia, outside of Georgia. And while the worship is taking place, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to me, and he says, leave right now, Chris. Go to an apartment complex. It was like a block away. And he said, there's someone that needs healing in their body. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm getting ready to speak, John. You know, they flew me in to speak at their church for training and equipping on evangelism. And I'm thinking, Lord, I can't leave right now. But the Lord's taught me over the years that I have to quickly obey no matter what. And so I tell one of the pastors, I said, I can't speak right now. I've got to actually go and obey the Lord. And so I take one of the pastors with me. After knocking on three doors, it was one door that a woman came to the door, and I said, excuse me, ma'am, this may sound really strange, but I was getting ready to speak at this church, and the Lord spoke to me that there was someone here that needs healing in their body in this apartment complex. Do you need healing? She says, yes, I need healing. Hmm. I was just praying. I was praying to be healed, that the Lord would heal me. She said, I just got out of surgery. I'm in excruciating pain. And I said, well, the Lord has sent me here to lay my hands on you and command all the pain to leave your body. And so I laid my hands on her. The power of God came on her, and she was completely healed. I want to tell you another testimony. Can I share another testimony?
I love it.
About the gospel truck. You know, the first place that we went to with the gospel truck was in Santa Cruz, California. One of our team members, Javina, she's never met her biological father. You know, she was conceived in Santa Cruz, California. And somehow, some way, around that time when we decided to go to Santa Cruz, California, she had gotten contact with her birth dad over Facebook. And she had arranged a time to be able to meet her dad. Her dad was full of shame, full of guilt that he had never reached out to her. And she met with him at a restaurant and told him how much Jesus loves him, how Jesus has a plan for his life, and how she forgave him. And she invited him to that meeting, our open air gospel campaign, which was in a parking lot at a mall. And he came to that meeting. And he was the first one to respond to the call, to come forward and surrender his life to Jesus. And he was the first one to be water baptized. And so that created a domino effect of lives being changed and set free by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have time, I'll share one more testimony.
We're good. Yeah. Keep going, man. This is great.
Okay, I'll share one more testimony. And one of the recent gatherings that we had in Spokane, Washington, we went to in Spokane and we had teams out and about. So we did training and equipping and we had teams that would go out and about. And one of them invited a man that had died a week and a half to 2 weeks before we met him. He OD'd. And he was in the hospital and he saw his spirit man come out of his body. And he went down this black tunnel. And then suddenly there was a light. There was a light that came before him. And instantly he was in his body. He came back into his body. He didn't know what happened. He just knew that he had an encounter with God, but he never heard the gospel. Our teams invited him to come to that night when we open air preached the gospel. He heard the message of Jesus. He repented. He came forward. And we do open air water baptism. And so he was baptized that night, delivered. Cool. And the next day he came and he shared his testimony on how Jesus set him free from fentanyl and meth. Wow. And I tell you, that is the power of God. And we're so excited about what the Lord is doing. I want to just say this. It is revival time in America.
Amen. Amen. It is revival time in America. And you know, Chris, as we've got a great audience here that listen to the Charisma News podcast, and I know that there are people that are like, well, how do I get started? You know, and I want to make sure that people don't just take away that they can skip the gym, put on a Christian t-shirt, and go to a gas station. But those, because of your quick obedience, God used those things to, you know, to open up doors so that you could preach the gospel or have somebody's life changed because of that. So there's a lot more to it than skipping the gym, putting on a Christian t-shirt, and going to a gas station, but there are small, simple steps. How does somebody get started with this? What's a small step that they can do? And then if you would, just please pray for the people that, and just release an anointing that for people that want to get started and sharing their faith.
Yep. I would say to everyone right now, you have a testimony. And your testimony, an outline of your testimony is in Acts chapter 26. Paul gives a clear description. What was your life like before Christ? How did you meet Christ? And what has Christ been doing in your life and through your life? Acknowledge that you have a testimony and then acknowledge to the Lord that you want to be available to share the good news of Jesus Christ and allow him to impregnate your heart with love and compassion. We make it so complicated so many times, but the Lord wants to give us his heart. And so as he begins to give you his heart, take those steps. And if it's one sentence that you tell someone, hey, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you, take those steps and rejoice in the breakthrough that you're getting. And then secondly, be around people that are more on fire than you. You know, ask the Lord to begin to give you relationships of individuals that's further than you and just hang out with them, be around them. And then together, look for opportunities to be intentional about stepping out and sharing your faith and do it continually. The more you do it continually, the more it becomes a part of your life. And to never allow guilt and shame to motivate you. Allow the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ to motivate you for people.
Amen. Would you pray for our audience that want to take that step of quick obedience when the Lord speaks?
I'd love to. Father, I thank you, God, for everyone that's watching right now. And Lord, I pray a blessing over them. Lord, I thank you, God, for an eternal perspective. Lord, I pray right now that you give them eternal perspective. And Lord, I pray, God, for a reality of heaven and hell, but also a compassion that will motivate them. God, I pray right now that you would impregnate their heart and their life, their spirit man, with the compassion so that they would take action and that they would quickly obey. Right now, Lord, as you were showing things to them, as you were sharing things and showing them things, Lord, I pray that they would act fast, that they would not talk themselves out of obedience, but they would obey you quickly. And some of you right now, the Lord has already spoken to you about things. And I want to encourage you, take that step of faith. Tell someone God's spoken to you and say, hey, hold me accountable. I want to obey the Lord Jesus Christ and watch what God will do in you and through you.
Amen. Amen. And so the ministry is Compassion to Action, and the website is compassiontoaction.com. We've been talking about his book, A Practical Guide to Evangelism Supernaturally, and I highly recommend it because it's very practical, and there's a lot of things that it just makes sense. He breaks it down in steps that are easy to digest and to understand. So that you can go share the gospel with somebody in an accessible way that's not overwhelming. It's not something where you have to go up and stand on a street corner and shout at people as they're walking by. He has a very practical understanding of how you can be a representative of Jesus wherever you are. And whether it be taking that step of quick obedience and putting on a Christian t-shirt for the first time and hoping somebody asks you about that, or if it's going on a mission trip or joining him with his gospel trucks. And I'm excited to continue to hear testimonies of how God is using that to open up doors and open up opportunities. And as you said, Chris, the harvest is now, and this is a time that we're seeing great revival. I love hearing the testimonies that you've shared. Thank you so much for that. I know that's encouraging our audience here. And Chris, thank you so much for being on the Charisma News Podcast.
Thanks you so much for having me.
This has been John Matarazzo for the Charisma News Podcast. God bless you.